Hello, you're listening to 100.9 FM Perth. Good to be with you. This is Jeremy Garlett, and the program is Health Matters. And it's heard not only in Perth, but right out on the network of stations right across Australia as well. So it's good. Today we focus on, I suppose, the healthcare systems, and one particular is St. John of God Hospital, which, has been established in 1895, and the New Zealand and Australian branches. And they also boast there's about 13,000 staff members across Australia, New Zealand and the Pacific as well. And of course, we also would say and we'd boast that we have Aboriginal clinicians and doctors working in this particular field at St. John of God Hospital, and private, and of course, public. So I'd like to make welcome the lovely Christine, who's in on the program. And Christine Clinch, it's like I've spoken to you, and I've spoken to you before somewhere, I don't know where, but lovely to have you here at Noongar Radio.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah,
Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the Christine that is right in front of me at the moment, and to our listeners who are listening in now.
Mm-hmm. Well, as Aboriginal people, we always relate where we come from. So for me, I was actually born here in Perth, out at the old Swan Districts Hospital.
Yeah.
And my family, buddy, my Yamatji people,
yes,
from around Mount Magnet and throughout, yeah, the Midwest. But given that I was born here in Whadjuk Country, I kind of had a connection with the Noongar, yeah, people here as well. So grew up with a lot of Noongar mob.
Yeah, and of course your family roots go right through, of course, the Yamatji area, Carnarvon.
Correct.
And of course, even up to Meekatharra as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All throughout.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've come from a big extended family, and I know a little bit about the history of the Clinch family, because there's some history, and of course it's also part of Batavia too, the Batavia Coast.
Yep,
which
correct.
Is really amazing, and amazing history as well. Well, let's talk about, I suppose, medical things and being a doctor as well. You, what made you become, or I suppose what inspired you, and you're still young, I'm going to say at your age, what inspired you to become a doctor? And not only that, you are a director at St. John of God Hospital.
At Midland.
Private.
Yeah.
Yes.
My journey into the health arena actually started as a teenager.
Yes.
A young mum at the time, wanting something for my kid. And I decided that I would do the health worker course, the Aboriginal health worker course, and that was through Marmaridge, but it was through at the old Perth AMS, the old warehouse, as we lovingly call it, over in Edward Street. So that's where I did my training for 12 months.
Auntie Joan Winch, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, Joan was one of my inspirations and mentors, and continues to be so as well. And she was actually the one that first put that seed there about potentially going and doing medicine on completion of the health worker course. And, you know, as we usually do, we start doubting ourselves and thinking, yeah, that we can't really do that, you know. And but one thing I did want to do was actually do nursing. And so I was over at Curtin Uni doing the bridging course there, and really thinking about tracking into nursing, and I guess family got in the way, because I ended up falling pregnant with my second child, my daughter, and I thought, no, being a mother is a little bit more important at the moment. So
yeah,
but the seed was planted initially, and years later, I found myself working at, living in the Pilbara, and over at, as an Aboriginal health worker at Wiritakamaya, Health Service, the Aboriginal Medical Service in Port Hedland. And I think one of the, key points for me, yes, at that time was seeing a third world disease.
Yeah.
One of our mob come in, you know, with leprosy. And I'm like, wow. Oh my goodness, this is, yeah. This can't be leprosy, but it actually was. And
so that affected you?
Oh, absolutely. And I just thought, this is not acceptable.
But you turned the effect into sort of a motivational drive.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I loved working as an Aboriginal health worker. I thought it was pretty much the beginning of my career, I believe.
Yes.
And that experiential value of it. So knowing the community at that level, seeing third world conditions.
Yes.
And just thinking, no, I need to do something more. So that was one of my motivating factors into going into medicine. And also too, one of the GPs who worked there was actually a mature age student, had done medicine as a mature age student.
Yes.
And I found that really encouraging and motivating. So with a change of circumstances, and I found myself back in Perth, and I thought, well, if I'm ever going to do medicine, now's the time. So
yeah. It's amazing. It's that experiential sort of resource bank that's in front of you. Yep. That's motivated you to do something, and also to say, well, health work is pretty good. It's a good jump, and it is very important and necessary. But you wanted to help people from a different level.
Absolutely.
A different playing field altogether.
Absolutely. So while I still think that the health worker profession is noble, and so is nursing, which was one of my original goals, but I just felt I could be of a little bit more service at a different level, and that was the motivating factor to actually go on and do medicine.
And Dr. Christine, tell me how it could be of great help to our community and even the wider community.
Absolutely.
From your experience.
Well, we're so underrepresented in terms of the workforce, and yet we're overrepresented in healthcare.
Yes.
And health needs in the community, local and throughout. So kind of makes sense that, you know, we have a lot more Aboriginal health professionals there at that high level.
Yeah. And then, of course, is it from medical point of view, there's also, it's collecting the data, the information and the research too, which is so important, and it's an important part of the medical industry. You also are at university and still teaching too as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us about what you do there.
Yeah, so my rollover at UWA is in the Faculty of Medical Health Sciences, or the Med Faculty. So there, with a dedicated team of lovingly called CAMDA, which is the Centre for Aboriginal Medical Dental Health.
Yes.
There we develop and teach the Aboriginal health curriculum within the medical degree.
Yeah. It's interesting because us Aboriginal people, we still want to do more. And here I see, you know, Dr. Christine Clinch, who's a guest on the program on health matters. There's sort of not enough people of us around, but here you are. You know, you're always sort of our people all tend to want to do more and extra. Mm. Why is that? What's the motivation behind that?
Because this is our mob.
Yeah.
And it's our own stories. It's our own journeys, and if we can encourage each other and really motivate and inspire each other to go on into education and, well, I guess my passion is always going to be the health field.
Yes, yeah.
So if we can motivate our mob and our families into higher degrees, I feel like I've done my job.
So. Yeah. And just being, Yamaji woman as well, and it is a role model. You're a role model for our community and our people. And, of course, has anyone came up to you and said, you said, well, I'm Dr. Clinch, and they get bewildered because of, you're there as an Aboriginal person. You know
all
what I mean?
The time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Tell us some of those experiences.
Oh, look, it's just whatever we achieve is an individual, as an individual Aboriginal person.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never our own achievement. It's always a shared journey and experience with family and friends and the rest of the community. So in a way, whatever you achieve belongs to the community anyway. So we all go on that journey. So, and it's wonderful to see people's like, expressions, you know, like, hey, you're a doctor. You know, that, you know, we say, you know, people start derping and that. And it's wonderful. And I love that. So any of my achievements don't really just belong to me. They belong to everyone.
It's a community thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that journey comes back through your experience as well. And the experience that you bring to St. John of God Hospital as well, because you're out there because you're interacting with people.
Absolutely.
At this particular level now.
Absolutely. And it feels like, without telling you my age, I feel like I've come full circle too, because I was born over at the Old Swan Districts Hospital. Mm. So part of my childhood was, you know, I'd grown up in the Midland area as well. So, and now I'm back there as the director of Aboriginal Health. So, yeah, I feel a really strong connection there to the Midland area.
Yeah. Christine, we're going to go to a music track and we're going to talk more.
My name's Shane Taylor, and you're listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio.
And thank you, Shane, for that. You are listening to Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. And this is Health Matters. And, of course, I have Dr. Christine Clinch, who's in the studios of Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. And we're very proud to have you here at Noongar Radio. And because, again, you're a doctor, and you did start your medical sort of career late in the medical field at being a doctor, but you was also in the health field as well. Mm. And you would have had a lot of experience in that area. And, yes, tell us about some of those experiences.
Absolutely. So, you know, as an Aboriginal health worker, you know, we're really known to have our finger on the pulse of the community. So, all those, that experience that I actually had from that really yes. gave me a really good grounding into what's happening at community level. So I really believe that it actually helped me in my medical yes. when I was in med school, and all those experiences and the way that I interacted, communicated, looked at making serviceable management plans that would work for our mob. I really believe that helped me. You know,
you're pivotal at the beginning because a lot of people sort of didn't relate to Aboriginal health a long time ago. They didn't know too much about Aboriginal health.
No.
And of course it was the, it was these health workers that had come along to sort of support the system.
Mm.
And then, of course, you becoming a doctor, and of course, again, you're supporting the system from a greater point of view with the greater experience.
Absolutely, and you know, it can't be underestimated the value of that that training and the journey that I had as a health worker, and really, ultimately, it became a stepping stone for me to actually go up into higher education. So.
Yeah. Let's have a look at some of the programs that that are out there in the community and that's being serviced.
Yeah.
Tell us about those.
So what we have over at St. John of God Midland, public-private, is three dedicated Aboriginal programs at the moment.
Yes.
One of them is with the Lion's Eye Institute, where we have a program where we actually have an early assessment program for eye conditions, and getting that early intervention or early assessment actually is enabling our team over there to have early referral and surgery.
How important is that?
Oh, very important. Mm. You know, in the health, the old saying, you know, prevention's better than cure, and ultimately, too, when you already have someone with a disease or condition,
yes.
we really want to stop that from getting any worse. So early intervention and treatment referral. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we also have the Patches Pediatric Service there as well. And again, that's looking at early childhood development and identifying children with some of those developmental delays or whatever it may be, and actually slotting them into services and getting services on board pretty quickly. The other one we have, and it's we've just relocated them over to our Midland site, is the Mort Budgeri Meyer program, which is a perinatal care. So it looks at antenatal, perinatal,
yes,
and postnatal, all on the spectrum, and you know, just providing culturally safe services for our mums and bubs, basically. You know, the saying, well, I always say is, you know, you have a healthy mum, you have a healthy pregnancy, you have a healthy baby, you have a healthy community,
yes.
and then that's just, you know, the pond effect.
Yeah. And, of course, there's been over years, and I go back in time, there was fear within the hearts of people going to the doctors, and I think that fear is also here within the communities, every community, isn't it? Going to a doctor and talking quite openly about their conditions or some of their challenges that they're facing.
Absolutely.
How do we overcome this within the Aboriginal community?
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we still have living legacies of policies that actually inhibited our a lot of our mob from actually accessing health services, number one. And, you know, not just acknowledging it, but really understanding that that still has intergenerational and transgenerational effect. So we're seeing, you know, ones younger than myself still, like, really scared about going into seeing the doctor or seeking healthcare for fear of, for some it might be, you know, you go to the hospital, you're going to die there. So there's still that attachment to it. And whether we like to talk about it or not, we still have that dirty R word in the, you know, racism and discrimination. So when you're already a vulnerable group and marginalised, you know, you're not really going to want to actively seek out health services for fear of being discriminated against. Whether it's real or perceived. So, you know, we want to really break down those barriers and start enabling our mob to actually start making their own choices about their healthcare. And if we can have culturally safe programs and services, I believe that is actually the way to go. And I think a lot of... You know, when we talk about culturally safe, what does that actually mean? And I think in the health arena, most people think, well, if we have some nice, pretty pictures and paintings up, you know, that's going to make people come in. Well, actually, that's nice, but that's not going to make our mob come in and seek healthcare.
That's right.
It really is about that relationships, because we are a connected people. So, you know, we're not going to go somewhere when we're not feeling comfortable. We don't really have a connection there. So it really is about the relationships. And, you know, if you provide culturally safe care, our mob are going to actually want to come in then, you know, feel comfortable and, you know, have true self-determination, making choices about their own health.
How do you put this message across to mainstream providers? Which I'm no doubt you're doing this through your educational process and education at the university as well. And, of course, talking to sort of medical students too.
Absolutely. Well... For better or for worse, we're here. We've been here for X amount of years and we're not going away anywhere soon. But I think for me, my, you know how you have those little penny drop moments. And I started thinking, well, actually, Aboriginal health, we're not actually really the problem here. This is not an Aboriginal problem. This is actually an Australian problem. And this
is
an Australian issue. And, and that's the challenge that I put out there for all healthcare providers, is that we don't see it as us being the problem, but us as being a part of the enabling process. And we can do that with some education, you know. And you know, the day you stop educating yourself is the day you die, really. So it doesn't matter what your age is, whether or where you are on your journey in medicine. We always have to keep and continue to educate ourselves. So, and I just see that educating ourselves on Aboriginal issues and challenges and enablers is a part of that education process.
And then we look at that and we see that does equate to health.
Absolutely.
Because it's about, you know, finding your mindset and finding your niche as well.
Definitely. Absolutely. And I just think of the, you know, the wonderful team, and we're just a really small Aboriginal health team at the moment. And it's all right to give a shout out to some of the...
You sure can. You can do that right now.
Ladies over there. So we have the cultural engagement officers over there. We don't use the term liaison too much anymore. So what Kerry and Glenys do is actually they're a part of that patient journey, which I think is probably a bit more appropriate for us as Aboriginal people. We talk about life journeys and, you know, a part of that journey in the hospital system, if we can help that with that transition and make it smooth for not just the patient but families. And that's the that's where we need to make that really clear to health professionals. We're not one person. We're not an individual. we actually come with our families. So it's working with the family as well.
Because when you came onto the program, you talked about family. And you talked about the connection to family, the connection of how you arrived at this particular point in your time. Which is a beautiful process, because it is this arriving and why you took up the mantle and become a doctor and to do what you're doing at the moment. And also we look at the delivery services that are out there in the community as well, and how we can enhance that process, because it's a new beginning for a lot of people out there in the non-Aboriginal sector as well.
Absolutely. You know, in medicine we talk about best practice models.
Yeah.
And it's all evidence-based, and that's what we're taught as health professionals. But I also wanted to add to that, in that we can be cultural advocates as well, whether we are Aboriginal or not. That's still a part of us being healers, if you would like. So it's really important to understand your patient. So a little bit of a mindset now. It used to be doctor-patient and this great big power imbalance.
Someone's going to throw one up there and do that.
Yeah. But what I really like at the moment, we're seeing this change to back to more of a social medicine.
Yeah.
And I like to think it is cultural medicine as well, where you're on the same level. So it really does become this patient-centered experience and journey. And ultimately, I think that's the way to go. So I think that's a really good healthcare model. And it's not just for our mob. I really see that as transferable to every non-Aboriginal
patient as well. Because this is what I mean.
Mm.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There are always new inroads to the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about Helicobacter pylori.
Mm.
We're talking about how that's been a process in the northern community. Mick Fazeldine and Kumanjar, who's a person who passed on, who used to work with St. Vincent's Hospital, and a lot of the research was being put through that particular hospital. Mm-hmm. But it came from a cultural sort of experience.
Yep.
And
model of care?
The model of care, but which is traditional, yeah. Totally
Absolutely.
Traditional.
Yeah.
How much is this within your own self too?
Well, not only do I believe it, I actually live it and I actually work it. So it's not really anything new. Probably just got a different tag on it, but it's the same fundamental process where, again, it goes back to that relationships-based approach, you know, and that's pretty much the way we roll as Aboriginal people.
And of course, coming back to St. John of God Hospital, private, and of course public, there's been some. It's been designed for Aboriginal people too, as well, from Noongar country, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So even the lost my little piece of paper. So it was actually designed to actually attract like the natural decor of the environment, and we've got one of our rooms there is actually named after the Wadjuk people.
Wow.
So we have the Wadjuk room, which initially was just a room for where families could actually gather and just take a breather, really. Because, you know, being in a hospital is really, really, really quite anxious.
It is.
Lots of anxiety.
Because people are sort of not away from country as well.
Yeah,
and there's
definitely.
Again, that comes back to that connection again.
Yeah.
I often say connection. And,
yeah, connection.
And that's,
I like that.
That's the process of connection, as also connection to our environment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what we see in our environment.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
Well.
You know, we're natural caretakers of not just our families, but of our environment as well. That's just part and parcel of who we are. So we've got some wonderful walks around the hospital and throughout some of the other gardens where, you know, it's highlighted, you know, talking about our Noongar Six Seasons and
that's
that.
Right, so yeah.
You can read that. And some of our meeting rooms are actually got some Noongar names as well, which is really important.
Yeah.
So it was aimed to encourage, you know, Aboriginal mob through the door, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, it actually does have a really good feel when you walk in there.
Yeah, yeah, and you can feel that.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel that as you go any of these places because there's there's a connection. But there's also, I'd like to sort of ask, you would have made sort of inroads in employment in the field, and it's not specific just medicine. It could possibly be hospital orderlies and other services that are provided, and which really means a lot to have an Aboriginal orderly walking around saying hello. And again, that's that would have been some of the most interesting ways.
Of course, it's important. You know, you talked about connection.
Mm.
We need to, you know, our mob to feel really safe and encouraged to come through to seek medical care. One of the best ways or best strategies to do that is actually have some Aboriginal faces right there at the forefront or at the interface. So when our mob come in and they see that they actually have Aboriginal workers in whatever area it is, you know, that's really important. You know, that shows that, oh, this is actually an okay place to come because so-and-so works there. And that's how we do it, you know, who's over there working. And that's just how we do business, you know. So very important. So for me, Jeremy, that's one of my high priorities is to actually increase and grow our Aboriginal workforce. So at present we've got approximately 24 to 26 workers across the disciplines, across the different areas, from up to catering, up to nursing and cultural engagement. But I want to see more, and I think that is going to enhance the cultural safety of the hospital.
Yeah. Dr. Christine Clinch, lovely talking with you. We're still going to talk with you because I tell you there's so many other things I'm going to ask you right here at Noongar Radio, and we do appreciate your time right here on Health Matters.
Thank you.
Your 100.9 FM, Noongar Radio.
Good music, ha, that sweet soul music, just long and it's sweet, yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we are here on the floor, y'all, I go and do a go, dancing with the music, oh yeah, oh yeah, spotlight.
listening to Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. This is Health Matters right here at 100.9 FM. The studios are 100.9 FM. And it is, we are broadcasting in Perth, Western Australia, but the program will be heard throughout our network of stations. And we're very appreciative of that factor. And I do appreciate Dr. Christine Clinch. Thank you very much for coming in the studio. It was really nice talking to you. And, of course, looking at health matters. And when we're looking at health matters, we're looking at the service delivery of Aboriginal people that are working in the industry, but also there's sort of a dual role they have to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
tell us about that.
I think that's just inherent, whether we realise it or not. But we always wear a lot of hats, and for better or for worse, we're stuck with them.
yeah.
But I think all of us that are actually in this field really see that as, you know, being able to balance that. We do wear many hats, but we try and balance it because number one, they're really necessary. Yeah, so I can wear my doctor hat, and I can take that doctor hat off at times, but I'm my Aboriginal hat, I'm always Aboriginal, and I never take that one off.
Yeah.
So that's just the one that's always there. And I think we're constantly educators anyway.
Yeah.
Whether we can look at it in a really positive life, because I feel like I like to influence people around me to get them to see the benefits of actually understanding the relationship cultural approach that we actually have, and how really that's actually a really good model of practice for every one of our patients or clientele that we service. So it's actually transferable in. And it does, and I chuck that challenge out there. So if you can get it right with our mob, you can get it right with anyone.
Yeah. And of course, more the merrier. But then again, I often say we're not here to change a system, but we're here to enhance it.
Absolutely.
And I can see this process of enhancement coming out and also bettering other people as well. You know, the community people. Of course, the non-Aboriginal people, because they'll be asking you questions a little bit about your Aboriginality, and your hat will come on and your hat will come off. I mean that's sort of interchangeable, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is why I feel really passionate about, you know, the workforce, and why we actually have to have a lot more black faces, if I can say that. Really there and showing that you're doing more than just delivering a health service. You're actually role modeling, you're encouraging, you're inspiring, you're ticking all those kind of boxes without even really realizing it. And, you know, you're ultimately a leader in this field, and, you know, as Aboriginal people, we're experts in our own right anyway.
That's right.
So to bring that, as an Aboriginal person to your workplace,
it's enhancing.
Absolutely.
And there's so much you can learn from it, and others can learn. And the thing I often think about is the conversation. Because we must have conversation, no matter what it is. Have we spoken about that conversation? And that's one of the things we need to, I suppose, as Aboriginal people, is that to have a conversation, and sometimes conversations can be uneasy, to say the least.
Yeah, well, part of our cultural conversation, actually, that we have, which is our cultural training package that we do over at St. John's Midland there, is called Cultural Conversation. So all new healthcare caregivers that come into St. John's actually do our cultural training. So, and of course, the cultural conversation. So that's just part and parcel of being a caregiver out at Midland.
Just enlighten me on that, those cultural conversations.
Yeah.
And what's been spoken about that?
Well, it's talking a little bit about the history for Aboriginal people, and because a lot of people are perplexed, like in this country, like, why is Aboriginal health so bad?
Yes.
And realistically, it's because of past policy. So we actually have to understand the history to be able to move forward into the future.
Yes.
So I know that sounds very cliched, but it really is paramount to...
Because of the past practices.
Absolutely.
That we're looking at.
And as I stated earlier on in the program, you know, we still have living legacies who have been affected by past policies. So you have to have that understanding. And that's going to just enhance you as a caregiver out, you know, in the hospital. So,
and so that you provide that to mainstream people and
everyone,
everyone. And because there's so much need to be done within our own culture too to find our own Aboriginality.
Absolutely.
I mean, because some people don't feel too well about their Aboriginality.
Absolutely.
Due to past experiences.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I feel quite privileged that I've always grown up and known who I was. And, you know, one of the things my mother said to me was, be proud to be black, you know. And so I've never been anything else but black. So. And really strong in that. But, you know, in my life journey, I've seen ones who've actually struggled with their Aboriginality or not really knowing and part of that stolen generation and all sorts of things. But it's always wonderful. I always think, and this is just anecdotally, once they actually do acknowledge their Aboriginality and find out about it, I think they actually do a lot better anyway.
Yeah.
So there's it's almost like in that. Healing.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk about. That the placebo effect, which is basically mind, body, spirit, self change, or I suppose of your who you are and your identity as an individual. I mean, I think that's pretty well important to looking at healing. I gather.
Absolutely.
And you know, country.
Yeah.
Going back to country, you're healing.
Absolutely. And so with that kind of knowledge and information then, when we do our cultural training and have our cultural conversations, you know, if you're making healthcare professionals, aware of all of this, it actually changes your focus. You know, you actually start looking at it through a cultural lens rather than just the clinical. So, if you can do that, then it actually brings or integrates really perfectly your cultural decision-making and your clinical decision-making, and I think the two just fit hand in glove then.
And Christine, what sort of feedback have you got from students taking part in the program?
Oh, heaps. You know, you're always going to have people that aren't so interested in Aboriginal health per se, and that's okay. You know, everyone's got the right to choose. But then you've got ones who really do want to be the best practitioner.
Yeah.
And so they'll just take everything and anything on board that they can get their hands on or can study or look into and actually apply. And I guess that's what we're giving them, the cultural conversations or the cultural education, whether it's in the hospital setting or whether it's with students in the university. It really is giving them a best practice model of care. For every patient, that transferability.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely talking to you, and of course we'll still sort of talk to you. Anything you'd like to sort of make mention that we may have overlooked? Because I think there's some that we've spoken till the cows come home.
A little bit,
but it was good though. It's a very good discussion, and it's letting, I suppose, you let your spirit out, and one of the things is that the importance of who we are as individuals, where we come from, and our roots and our Aboriginality, and of course that transferable process that goes into non-Aboriginal people to see this for the first time. It's amazing to also talk openly about some of these things, which also equates to health as well.
Absolutely.
You know, your mind, body, spirit, health and those things.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, with our mob, you know, there is great diversity amongst the different language groups. And the one thing that we all have in common is that we actually don't have a word for health in any of the, you know, in our language groups. So, because health really is about the person, the community, the family, the land, the connection. So it's quite interesting, you know, when people hear that we don't have a word for health, because if you're strong in family and connection to country and land and environment and everything else, that makes you healthy.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, it does, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Mm. Christine, Dr. Christine Clinch, tell us your position and your role. I mean, you've already said it already, but let our people know.
Yeah.
And where you are and what you've been doing.
Yeah, so I was appointed as Director of Aboriginal Health at St. John of God in Midland, public-private, and that was late last year. And one of my goals in that position is to actually have those best models of care and practice that we all have a safe and culturally appropriate workforce. That we also have programs that our mob are actually going to utilise and that can help and make a difference, and that we give people choices as well, because not everyone,
yes.
We all have the right to decide what our healthcare needs and how they should be met and what they are. But also too, one of my passions is about growing the workforce. So
yes.
I really do want to see that number that we've got now, just increase, and we actually project that it will be.
Yes.
And also St. John's are really committed to that process as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And where are you located?
So out at Midland, Clayton Street. Mm-hmm. At present, and
it's a new hospital too.
It's the brand newbie.
Yes.
So the old Swan Districts, the one where I was born, closed down.
Yes.
And this hospital's been in operation for just a little over 18 months. So it's really new, and I see it as a blank canvas for Aboriginal health.
Yeah.
So
accessible too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To country locations in the south and, of course, the north.
So part of our catchment area, obviously, is the Swan, but it's also part of the Wheat Belt as well. So
Yeah.
So just as important.
Dr. Christine Clinch, I think I've known you and your family from Yamaji country.
Mm.
It's a real pleasure talking to you right here on Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM.
No, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah, and of course, people would want to say hello to you. They can get in contact with you as well at the hospital.
Yep, absolutely.
No worries.
Yep.
So, yeah. Health Matters, what a great program, and thank you for being so great yourself, Christine, to coming on the program as well.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Mobile, weren't you? Well, don't. If you're on the phone, get off the road.
This is a community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
Hi, this is Alex Lloyd, and this is Noongar Radio.
Always letting me down. You know what I mean. The man of my dreams should knock me off my feet like you're doing now, boy. Now you figured it out, boy. How did you?
love once before. I know the drill, I know the score. I'm willing to sit this out with you. No heartbreak like a rhyme. You've been through it once or twice, but baby.